Let's hear, what are some of your least favourite household chores? The household chores. Out of interest, Victoria, does Liam do much of the household chores? No. Hoovering, did I hear hoovering? Dishes, you hate doing the dishes, eh? You hate cleaning the house. I know the feeling. Any from over here, what do you hate doing? Ironing. Plunging the shower drain. Can I hear an amen? The toilet gets even worse, doesn't it? Doing the toilet. Couldn't agree more. Does anyone have any household chores that they like doing? Putting the bins out? Wiping the surfaces? Yeah, absolutely. Cleaning out the mould, absolutely. Cleaning windows. When I'm cleaning windows. Absolutely. Love it, yeah. You like cleaning your room? Good. Keep doing it. Your mum is nodding. Like, I love it when she cleans her room as well. Oh, Ian, mum says you've got to clean your room. Guys, group therapy this. Anyone else want to out their child? Great. So, household chores. You'll find out why we're talking about them in a little minute. But over the next couple of months, we're going to still be working our way through the book of Luke in the Bible, but we're going to be looking at the different stories in the Bible where Jesus has a meal with someone or with a group of people. Now, I love this side to Jesus because what we see is an extraordinary man doing really ordinary things, like going round to his mates or popping in at someone for a quick cup of tea and a natter. And I love the book of Luke especially because it's full of these examples. So in Luke 5, Jesus eats collectors and sinners. Luke chapter 7, Jesus eats at his house and is anointed with oil. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus feeds a crowd of 5,000 people. In Luke 10, Jesus eats with Mary and Martha. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus condemns Pharisees, making it a really awkward party. In Luke 2, Jesus has one of the most important meals. Have you heard of the Last Supper? Yeah, he has the Last Supper. Chapter 24, when Jesus came back to life, he ate fish with disciples in Jerusalem. Initially, Jesus came back to the chippy with his mates. This is my kind of guy. Now, a guy called Robert Carey writes this. Says, in Luke's gospel, Jesus is either to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. Not doing those things, he's teaching people about food. Or that's my guy. I love food. I love talking food. I love going for food. I love food all the time. And in another book, A Meal with Jesus, that Tim Chesters says this, the Jesus window into his message of grace and the way it defines his community and his mission. So we're not just talking about what food did Jesus eat, we're talking about and we're learning about what did these meals represent? What can we learn from these stories where Jesus had meals with people and what might they do to help us become more like him? So the meal we're going to look at today is from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, if you're reading it in the Bible. And it's a short story, and it packs a punch. And we're going to do something a little bit different today. You might wonder why there's lots of seats. So we're going to read the story now, and then I'll share a few short thoughts on it. And then I'm going to have a couple of friends come up and tell us a little bit about what that looks like in their life, in their season of life. So are you ready to read? Marvelous. It will be behind us. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42 says this. And as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. So in this story, we have got these two sisters. We've got Mary, who when Jesus came to visit, she sat at his feet listening and learning. And then we've got Martha, who was doing the chores and the hospitality and getting this big meal ready. Now, this is a passage that's close to my heart because my middle name is Martha. But I don't just relate by name, I relate by nature as well, because I know the feeling of what it's like to keep yourself busy doing and to be a bit of a doaholic and not find it as easy to just sit and rest and listen. And often we can jump straight into this story by comparing Mary and Martha and by deciding who's better, who's more holy, who's the right one, who should we listen to. But first of all, before we do that, I want us to just think about Jesus. So if we read verse 38 again, it says, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into their home." Now, hospitality in ancient Israel was a massive thing. It's really deeply respected. So if someone popped round or if you got an invite, you respected that invite and you would put a good spread on for them. You would make your day for them that you were about to have. And from the offset, just demonstrates what it is to Jesus into her home, practice good hospitality, was right for the culture and the context of the time. What also would have been quite common would have been for men and women to be separate within that hospitality. So probably the men surrounding the rabbi listening to his teaching, whilst the women were busy preparations or maybe just having to hear from another side of the house. I love this story because before we even get onto Mary and Martha, we have to take a moment to acknowledge that Jesus crossed culture and gender norms in order to show welcome to Mary and Martha. He went straight in. And he let Mary sit at his feet. And he invited Martha to come and do the same. Now, at the very least, what this does is remind us of how highly Jesus values women. The role of women, the input of women, the community of women. And it also reminds us how much he despises gender inequality. He doesn't want to keep us separate. He wants us all to be welcomed to sit at his feet. But what he also does is he demonstrates something really big. He demonstrates and lives out a verse that is written after he dies. And it's found in Romans chapter 8, 38. It's one of my favorite verses. And it just simply says this: nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And I think this story, as much as it is about Mary and Martha, it's about a reminder that Jesus says, nothing can separate you from my love. No gender or ethnicity or age or busyness or socioeconomic status or lifestyle or sexuality, nothing can separate you. You are welcome to come and dine with Jesus and sit at his feet and enjoy company with him. So Jesus, before anything else, crosses some divides and reminds us that everyone is welcome to have a meal with Jesus. Everyone is welcome to come and sit and be and learn from him. And that is Jesus. He's a rule breaker and a kingdom shaker. And we'll get used to it as we continue to look at these meals that we have with Jesus and what it teaches us. So that's Jesus. And then we've got Mary and Martha. So we've got Mary who sits at Jesus' feet. And we've got Martha who's busy serving and doing and getting this big spread ready. Now, out of interest, if Jesus came to your house, who do you think, who would say they relate more to Mary? Who would find it, enjoyable to sit at his feet? Yeah. And what about Martha? Any Marthas in the room? Yeah, lots of busy, lots of doers, lots of getting the spread ready. I relate a bit more to Martha. And if I was Martha, if I'm honest, I would have punched Mary. I'm not being funny. You know when you're working really hard and you sit someone just sat chatting and they're yapping at you and you're like, can't you see him doing something? I'd have been like that. Or when you're at work and you're working really hard and you can see this huddle of people just chatting away and not doing anything, I'd have been so annoyed. It's like maybe when you go around your house and you're cleaning and you're hoovering, your kids are just sat watching the TV. Oh my goodness, that's how I, as Martha, I would have wanted her. But Jesus was like, no, sure, we're going to heist. And I would also have marked Jesus and been like, Jesus, heard, could you tell her to get and help? Martha gets a bit of a bad rep in it, if I'm honest, because I can understand why was like, sit wherever you like. We haven't practiced this bit at all, so this will be a whole lot of fun, I've got to admit. And first of all, while she'd take your seats, I'm going to ask you to tell us What's your least favourite household chore?
Cleaning the toilet, definitely.
Cleaning the toilet. Absolutely. Sunday, what's your least favourite household chore?
Mine is cooking.
Cooking? You don't like it?
Probably because my wife cooks better than me, so I've surrendered that part to her. So she does better than me, so it's good.
She does do a good jollof, I have that. It's beautiful. Lolladay?
I think you'll be the dishes.
The dishes, yeah. It's dirty water.
I love
me.
Them all.
You love them?
Yeah, I like cleaning. I don't do enough of it. I like chores. No, I don't iron anymore. I hate ironing.
Well, Sandra, I'm in your... Yeah, I absolutely hate ironing. So anything else I buy, I'm like, is that crease? Because if it's crease, you need ironing. It's definitely.
Love that. I've got to come round to you about the spotless. But, out of interest, who relate to Martha, busyness and the doing? Yeah, a few of you. So in what ways would you say that you relate to Martha in this story? So what kind of things have you found distract you from spending time with Jesus?
The biggest thing for me recently was probably school, because just coming off of doing my GCSEs, I can see you at the back summer. I feel like, for you can probably relate to this, it really distracted me, like even though it was, like what you said, it was necessary and it was good to be studying, to be revising for my test, I felt like it really distracted me from spending time with Jesus because I was so focused on that, even if it was good for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Adam. Sunday?
For me, there's really any day of my life I don't have things I don't do or looking forward to achieve. So on my to-do list, sometimes it could be 8, sometimes it could be 4, sometimes it could be 9, but they are very heavy. And what makes that also significant is that those things are very time-bound. I work full-time. I also have consultancy firm I run. I have, by God's grace, also a missionary in this community. Have family to run back home and here. So a lot of these things sometimes becomes overwhelming. So when I start on Monday, and then by the time I get to Fridays, I'm already on that diminishing returns. So you've now found that the sleepless night I have, maybe Monday to Wednesday, and I start recovering it in the week at the weekends, thereby reducing that time I should have spent with God or in my prayer time. So the men, trying to doing the many things sometimes is distractions, that is the situation I have. But God has actually helped me in times of managing them, prioritizing them, and yes, God has helped me in this way.
Absolutely. The juggling, the pressures of life and family and household, and like you said, necessarily just in this country either, and that can build up, can keep us busy, can't it?
I've just got some... Right, but 2 young kids. I work time, I've got a husband. There is no time. day typically are like 5:30 a.m. and it's go until 10 p.m. That point in time, really wanting to do my Bible, you know, there's just a lot. Another thing I think for me, it's not that really a time. I think for me, it's growing up, I have tied busy worth. You know, concept of being slow, taking time out to do things doesn't work for me. There are these 5 things on my to-do list. There's gymnastics to go to. There's just always something that I constantly have to get involved in. So, yeah. I'm definitely a Martha in that regard.
Absolutely. You know, the even Jesus, don't we, who gives us life and eternal, but we believe there's an enemy who knows how to trick us and often attacks our self-worth and attaches it to things that is anything but Jesus and how much he loves us. And often that can be our productivity, our busyness, our output that we can think of giving us our worth and our value. Thank you for sharing that.
I am way less busy than I used to be. But so I get it. When you're you've got a young family, all of that can take over really a lot. But I think the irony of this is, even when you've got more time, the enemy is still attacking you to not spend that free time with Jesus. So that's another new battle. Really is, yes, I've got time, but I'll think of 1,000 things I'd rather do than sit. And as you get older, you get a little more laid back. That just seems to happen. So it does get easier, but don't don't be tricked that the more time means more time spent with Jesus, because it doesn't necessarily translate. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, this is sweaty.
No, it's my hands, sorry. Well, I'm retired now, so I'm supposed to have all the time in the world, aren't I? And I actually think I am still a Martha, though I'm trying very hard to be a Mary. I've always been grown up in a Christian life. I've always been a doer. I am very practical. And if I do anything, I love it to be the best that I can possibly do. I did loads of sewing, and from being a little girl, anything that I can make has to look good. But along with that comes a very busyness, doesn't it? Because people are asking you, can you, can you, can you? And as I'm getting older, I'm realising there is a time to actually say, no, I can't, because I do need to have time, and I do have time with Jesus now. Been at the church 25 years, and my goodness, my Christian life has just rocketed. I've always known the stories, everything like that, but the Spirit of God lives in me, and my goodness, what a difference that makes to my life and my prayer life. And my walk with Jesus is so very different looking back to when I was younger. So I also see a vulnerability with being busy, because with being busy, when you've got nothing else you should be doing, comes anxiety and anxiousness. That is when we can talk to us, because he can bring through that and help us to manage our time much better.
Yeah, brilliant, Jan. I'm sure many of us relate to finding it hard to say no to people. Yeah, lots of no can be hard, can't it? I just think of the times when Jesus had to say, no, I need to go and have time with Father. And times when he took off for solitude, it was good for him. So Martha in us. Now, the other side of the sea, Mary, city of Jesus, maybe literally, but maybe metaphor. What does that look like for you? We'll do that in the middle of this. Talk us through what it looked like for you.
My favourite thing to do is to end the day with reading. I always, obviously it's number one, but there's other books, people write like ones that you meant, in that the thing to do when reading, annotate all over my Bible. I know that it, like, keep it nice and presentable. I know that I mess with my Bible sometimes, and that something that I really like that I've seen quite a lot is that a Bible that's fallen apart shows someone that isn't. Because the mess that you're making, you're taking all of that in by making that mess. And that's my favourite thing to do. But then there's also, you're not always going to understand everything the first time. Like, I know I don't. And that there's different apps and things that you can use for that. Like, there's an app called Haven. Not sure if you've heard of it, but it really helps me to understand certain passages when it doesn't initially click for me. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Haven, was that? Yeah, Haven app. That's great.
Yes, one of the things that has helped me, I think from high school, we call them secondary school back home where I come from, is the fact that once in a week, I try myself to be have what I call time I spend with Christ once in a week, and that has become a pattern over the years. And that has actually helped me that now that I've come to a time where I've been so busy, when that day comes, regardless of how busy I am, it just rings up, it just stirs up. So that consistency has actually helped me to spend time with Christ. And then what I do in the morning is, my best times are usually when the children are sleeping. If I'm sleeping, the whole place is quiet. So I use most of my night. Sometimes I pray in the night. Not always these days. But one of the things I try to do is that within my to-do list, I try to embed 5 minutes times. Because sometimes when you say you want to pray 30 minutes, sometimes you don't really have that 30 minutes. But you can have maybe a minute, you can have 2 minutes, sometimes a minute of just listening to worship. And that sets up the spirit. And then I have two ways of doing my Bible study. I have, which one of these I would like to recommend, a devotional. that gives a very brief summary of a test that you will read. And in that test, there is a title. What that does to me, when I'm so busy and I don't have time to read that full chapter, I will just leverage on that booklet, we call it devotional, that I can just take about 5 minutes, I just go through it, sometimes when I'm on the train, sometimes when I'm driving, and I have spare time to just look at it. And that has helped me to keep that busy. You know, so I have that. I also have my Bible study. I also have the things I do once. Thank God for the family who have an altar. Sometimes when I don't remember, the children come, oh, it's time to pray. So that has helped them see. You know, they wash, they also wash them. And that has, in terms of how I spend time with. So a kind of recommendation, I just starting, I would suggest, if you may not have the time to read the full chapter of the Bible, you can be devotional, like what Adam mentioned, that can give you maybe 5 minutes at it, and that can give you that course. You know, in your work with spending time with God. Another time, if you could, Bible, just try your best. Okay, this year I want to finish the Bible. Yeah. Help you, you know. By the time you now look at where are you, see somewhere in Malachi, it tells you over. So that can also stir you up of the Bible. So these are ways that God in keeping time with working with God.
Brilliant. Little and often. I love that you said that. That's great.
I think for me, it's more pockets of time during the day. I don't have 30 minutes or an hour to just spend time with God. So what I do, well, in the past, I would say few months, beginning of the year, I'm going through this healthy kick where in the morning I wake up and I'm, you know, for half an hour, do a quick workout, during lunchtime do a workout. So what I've decided to do, what I've been trying to do is when I see that, okay, I haven't got time during the day, during my workout, I can play worship music in the back while I'm working out. Lunchtime, during lunch breaks, I'm going out, 20-minute walk, I've got my AirPods in, I'm listening to worship. On my commute to work, I'm listening to worship, or I'm reading, you know, the audio Bible is playing in my ears. So I find that having pockets of time spread across helps me along the way. Something I've noticed, though, is obviously some people say, oh, yeah, you've got young children, they're a gift from God, you know, looking after them is service to God in itself. It can be overwhelming, if I'm being honest. Sometimes I'm like, okay, God, I know you've given them to me, you know, I'm worshiping you through looking after them, but you can't really replace spending one-on-one time with God. So when I notice that I'm starting to get a bit cranky or I'm a bit moody just because someone's left a dish in the kitchen sink, I know it's time to unplug, even if it's for 10 minutes, go listen to something, you know, just stay away. Yeah, so I think in my opinion, that's what's helped me so far. Yeah.
I think the word devoted is really important, isn't it? You know, to be devoted to Jesus means that your whole life, whatever it's like, whether it's busy or you've got more time, you'll have that as, that will be your point of reference. So if you're going to listen to anything, it's likely to be worship music. If you're going to read anything, you can use the apps, the Word for Today, the YouVersion. There's a lovely one called Lectio 365 that I enjoy, especially at night time. It really, like, settles you. But I think what's lovely is you can be at the feet of Jesus in an instant. So, you know, not to be rude, but you could be on the loo. You could be just sitting at a traffic light, you know. You can be... Jesus is with us in his spirit, in us. So to just have that moment, and you could have 1,000 moments during the day. And I know that maybe you think, oh, well, that's not very disciplined, and maybe you need a bit more. And I do have all these things. I have the Bible apps and the things that I structure into my life. But what I do, if I become a with them, so I'm Lectio 365, spend 5 minutes. You know, at the end, when you're going to bed, you have to have, you may have done all of them things, you may have read your Bible, done all your apps, listened to music, but have you spent time with, you know, there is a difference. All of them things help, but being in God's presence takes an, you know, effort, doesn't be still. So I'm in a season where those things are helping, they're giving me structure. But I'm very aware that I'm a tick box person and I don't want to get in bed and know I've ticked all my boxes but haven't actually spent any time with Jesus. So that's sort of where I'm at in this season.
Sorry for
this. No, that's fine. Yeah, so I'm a morning for yourselves as Jesus looks after us every day. take that walk, have a look round. He's in everything. Creation, he is in everything. He is with us everywhere and every place we go and all the time.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Not done yet. Yeah, and sorry, I'm coming back because it's only just came to me, but something that I learned when I was at Young Lions, the camp that I went to earlier this year, is to set up something called a personal development plan. And what it was, we got taught, it's to give yourself one or two goals over a certain time frame and really focus in on them throughout like the time that you give yourself, and that to speak to people, like to put people in that plan that you're going to say, oh, I'm going to share my goals with Lois, or I'm going to share my goals with like my parents, my family. And that you can also talk about what resources you're going to use, such as podcasts. Podcasts is one of my personal favorites. So you can maybe develop a morning routine like Lola Day was talking about. And that one of the most important parts is to reflect on your life and pick out the obstacles and the distractions that you think will be like barriers to you fulfilling this plan. And that's something that I've done since coming back from Young Lions, and I feel like it does really help. So yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Can we show some appreciation for their input whilst you take a seat off this very hot stage? I'm walking over here because just 1 minute. Sorry, trying to multitask, which I'm very bad at for a Martha, very bad indeed. Hopefully what that's helped you to kind of see and realise is that like God has wired us all really, really differently. Some of us, like are musicians, you might want to spend time on an instrument. You might be a reader. You spend time in the text. You might be someone who's sociable and wants to get over a coffee with other people. So hopefully it helps us to know that like you can connect with God however you are wired. To spend time with Jesus is the most important thing to do in our lives.